I invite you to turn in your Bibles for our scripture reading to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 39, continuing into chapter 12, verse 3. Let us give our full attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible word. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. As we turn to God's word today, we find a familiar metaphor for the Christian life, a word picture, an analogy, and that is the running of a race. It wasn't just recently that there were the Winter Olympics, and perhaps some of you were following along and watching the Olympic Games. And even so, all the way back in the days of the early days of the New Testament church, there were the beginning of those kinds of games, those kinds of sporting events. And whether you are a sports person or not, whether you are athletically inclined or not, the scripture here is telling us that we are all called to run the race of the Christian life. And why is it that this analogy is used? Because as we have here, the heart of that command there in the end of verse 1 of chapter 12, the writer to the Hebrews says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You see, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. It requires endurance. And that word is a word that is used not only for athletes who condition and train and prepare themselves to go the long haul for that long kind of a endurance race, but it is also a word that is often used in military campaigns, and the soldiers who need endurance to persevere, to keep pressing on, to keep fighting and battling through to the end. And you see, the encouragement here is an encouragement that we need. The original audience to whom the writer to the Hebrews, he's writing to these Jewish Christians, but also Gentiles, and they are those who are suffering persecutions and trials of various kinds. And if you look back, for example, in chapter 10, we are reminded there of the writer speaking to these early Christians and says, "Recall the former days," Hebrews 10:32, "when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to a reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." And now here, listen to what he says. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. You hear that encouragement from chapter 10, and now he picks it up again at the beginning of chapter 12. And that theme of running with endurance, the need for endurance, is the encouragement that we need because the Christian life has many afflictions and hardships and trials and tribulations. That's what's described there in chapter 10. And how the church in this world may be persecuted because of our faith in Christ and because we do not any longer belong to this world, but as the writer here reminds us, we have a better possession. We have a heavenly citizenship. We have a reward. And so the race is hard and long, but also there's a need for endurance because we cannot stop short before we reach the goal. And so that analogy, that metaphor is so appropriate because what is the purpose of the race? Sometimes we may forget, why am I running this race? Is it worth it? Am I going to make it? But it's all about crossing the finish line, isn't it? It's about receiving the reward at the end. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's not for the earthly rewards that we may receive here and now. It is about what God has promised and laid up for us in heaven above. But it is also understanding that as we are called to run this race, we are partaking, aren't we, in the realities of that heavenly inheritance even now. You remember how the beginning of Ephesians begins, where the Apostle Paul says, we have received in Jesus Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see, the salvation that we already possess tells us of the blessings of that heaven above, that heaven that we will enter into fully at the end. And what it reminds us of is that we are, again, pilgrims, we are strangers, we are passing through this world, but God has already lavished upon us blessing upon blessing in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of our sins, the idea that we are now members adopted into the family of God, that we have been justified, that we are being sanctified, that we have the privilege of knowing that in every circumstance our God is with us. And so that encouragement is for us here today, to run the race with endurance that is set before us. Are you in need of that word today? Do you feel weary in running the race? Are you experiencing certain trials and challenges and obstacles that are set before you? Do you wonder, am I going to make it through to the end? Do you feel as if sometimes you're just going to drop out and fall over to the side? Well, hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, how is that possible? There are three things that we're going to see here in this text that surround this encouragement to run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first thing that we want to see is there at the beginning of verse 1. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Number 2, we want to see what we are to lay aside. And there are two aspects to that. What we are to lay aside in order that we may run this race. And then third is what we find in verse 2. Most importantly, it is that we are called to look to Jesus. That we are to look to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so, how do we run this race with endurance? Well, the encouragement in chapter 12 begins with a therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and who are these witnesses? Well, we're connecting the therefore back to chapter 11. We picked up our scripture reading in verse 39, but all of those that comprise this cloud of witnesses are those that are listed in chapter 11, that Faith Hall of Fame. And we read there of the patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We read of Moses. We read of other men and women in the Old Testament. And what does chapter 11 tell us? It tells us that it is by faith that they endured and that they were running their race. And they were the ones who went before us. They in the Old Covenant preceded us, who come now in the New Covenant after the coming and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And you may think that in running the race, and there are these cloud of witnesses, it's easy to think of these Old Testament saints as spectators who are now watching us or looking at us. But that's not the point that the writer is making here. Yes, they are those who have gone before us. But you see, they are witnesses, not witnessing what we do, but they are a cloud of witnesses because of what they are to us. They are witnessing to us about something. And how does this help us in running the race? It is because we belong to that company, and they are witnesses to us of God's covenant-keeping faithfulness in the Old Testament. And they are witnesses to us that it is God who gives the gift of grace and of faith to persevere. Yesterday, when we were covering the theological exams for our officer candidates, and we talk about the 5 points of Calvinism, and are reminded, right, that that last point, the perseverance of the saints, can rightly be called the preservation of the saints, because we persevere only because God preserves us. And these Old Testament saints throughout chapter 11 in the, of Hebrews are testifying, they are a testimony to the faithfulness and the grace of God, who gives the faith to persevere, the faith that produces good works, the faith that is accompanied by a love for the Lord our God, and a willingness even to suffer and die for the sake of the calling that God has given us. Isn't that an encouragement for us? You see, at the end of chapter 11, notice what verse 40 says. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What is he saying here? He's contrasting the old with the new. And he's reiterating a point and a theme that has been woven throughout the book of Hebrews, that we who are now on this side of the cross and the resurrection, we who see the accomplishment of our salvation, what Jesus has done, and remember in Hebrews that phrase, once for all, his sacrifice is once for all. He's better than the Old Testament temple. He's the living temple. He's better than the Old Testament priests. He's the final priest, the great high priest. He's better than the animal sacrifices that were made over and over again. He's the once-for-all sacrifice that has secured our salvation. And you see, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, all of those Old Testament saints who testify to us of God's faithfulness, that he has kept the promises of his covenant, they died not seeing the fulfillment of those promises, but they died in faith, still looking forward. But who are we? We have now seen the fulfillment of those promises in Christ. We have received the fullness of the blessings that they had partaken in initially. And now they are now being made perfect at the end of their race with us, not apart from us. You see, they were waiting for the completion that now has arrived in Christ. And so we with them, as it were, in Christ, will finish the race. Well, brothers and sisters, what a joy it is to have the Word of God in its completion, in its fullness, in its sufficiency for our running the race. The Old Testament saints didn't have what we have now, the inscripturated fullness of the Word of God that is here for us, that when we look into God's Word and through even the Old Testament saints, it is a testimony not about man, not about what we need to find deep down in ourselves in order to make it to the end. It's not about us. It's not about our strength. It's not about our ability. It's all a testimony to our inability, but to the all-sufficient grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so the cloud of witnesses are pointing us again to God's covenant and his faithfulness and his sufficiency for us in Christ. But secondly, what do we have to run the race with endurance? We have a reminder that this running of the race requires our participation and it requires our effort. He says that when we run, we are to lay aside two things. Number one, every weight, and number two, every sin which clings so closely. These two things are similar, but slightly different. The first one is speaking about the things that may weigh us down, and it is distinguished from the sin that can so easily entangle us and trip us up and keep us from running the race. And so here, the writer to the Hebrews is reminding us that we are being called to pay attention and to take seriously our running of this race in such a way that we have a focus on the goal. And that to get to the goal of our salvation and to reach the reward that is there at the end, it means that we cannot mess around. We cannot dally with the things of this world. That we have to be so focused and so concentrated on how we run the race that we are going to deal and address the things in our lives that become hindrances, that become stumbling blocks, that may weigh us down, and especially taking seriously the sin that our God convicts us of, reveals to us, brings to light, that it may be put away, that it may be mortified and put to death in order that we may run. And that is running in that which is set before us, the boundaries of God's word, the paths of righteousness, as Psalm 23 says, that we walk for his name's sake. The weight may not be something that is necessarily in itself sinful. But I think it's so appropriate to think about this for a moment, because we live in a time, in an age, in our culture, that we are bombarded by constant distractions. There is not a moment of the day that goes by that we would become bored. There's a constant stream of social media, of entertainment, of activity and events. And all of these things can fill our lives and fill our free time, and in fact, can consume the major portion of our attention and focus on any given day. And yet, how important it is to see that, like the athlete, right, when he is conditioned and prepared to run the race, does he come on race day wearing his street clothes to run the race? No, he is making use of the lightest of apparel and making use of the technology today to be aerodynamic and to make the most of that race. And so also, brothers and sisters, we would do well to be reminded of the necessity to focus on the means of grace that God has given to us. What is our priorities as individuals, as families? Are we making time for God's word and for prayer? Are we thinking about the things of the Lord? Are we filling our hearts and minds with the truth of God's word? Are we finding in the scriptures the encouragement, the refreshment, the strengthening, the equipping by the working of God's Spirit that we really need to run the race well, faithfully before God? And so we are to set aside the things that weigh us down. We are to prioritize our lives in such a way that we set aside the hindrances, but also, especially, he says that we lay aside not only every weight, but the sin which clings so closely. And you see how the two things go together. You see, if we have a mindset of mortifying sin, if we are taking sin seriously, then we will see our need also to order and arrange our lives in such a way that we are, as Paul puts it in Colossians 3, seeking the things above, not the things that are on the earth. That we are understanding that our faith in Christ means that we have a new identity. We're united with Him, and we are called to serve Him first and foremost. And so, brothers and sisters, are we thinking, are we considering, and are we looking into the mirror of God's word to see and to find where are we falling short, that we might confess our sin, that we might repent of our sin, and that we might again pray and seek God's help to run the race with endurance? How serious does God take our sin? And it leads us to the third point, doesn't it? Because we are to look to Jesus. You see, what he is telling us is that Jesus is the one who has completed and fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament and those who came before us as they were looking ahead. They were looking for Jesus. We are to look to Jesus. And Jesus is not only the testimony of God's faithfulness, he is the Savior, he is the Redeemer. He is the one who willingly came to give himself, lay down his life to redeem us, to save us from our sin. And you see, there was nothing in Jesus' earthly ministry or life that would deter or detract him from completing his mission. He himself is the one who has completed his race. He has gone before us, and he, in giving his life, the writer says he endured the cross. And for the joy that was set before him, he pressed on to the goal, and he despised the shame, and he emerged triumphant and victorious at the end. And where is he? He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus gave himself to deal with our sin. That is how serious our situation truly is. But it is Christ who willingly bore the curse and the shame of our sin in order to bring us the life and the salvation that comes by God's grace. But he is at the right hand of the throne of God. Beloved, our Lord and our Savior, who went before us, who conquered sin and death and hell for us, is the one who now, at the right hand of God, rules over us. He is preserving us. He is protecting us. He is providing for us. Is there anything greater than our King, Jesus Christ? Is there anything, is there anyone who can separate us from the love of God in Christ? No, you see, Jesus, the one to whom we look, is, the writer says, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who laid the foundation. He is the one who brought us from death into life, and he is the one who will see us across the finish line. He will perfect our faith. He will bring us to glory. And day by day, as we run the race, he is the one who gives the endurance, and he is the one who runs with us, for we are united to him. You see, our running is not alone. Not only do we have the witnesses of the saints of the Old Testament, not only do we have the encouragement of the body of Christ here at Sovereign Grace, but especially we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And in him, we run. And through his strength, we run. And because he has run before us, he is going to bring us to our heavenly home. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 1, verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And also in John chapter 10, it is Christ himself, the good shepherd, who says in verse 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Do you hear the words of encouragement for you today? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's pray. O Lord, we pray for your help today. May we hear your word, but may we also believe it, and may we live by it. O Lord, encourage our hearts that we may engage with all that we are and all that we have in running the race with endurance. O Lord, may we not lose sight of the prize and the reward, the goal of our faith, but may we not lose sight especially of our Savior, who is our all in all. May we look to your word that it may witness to us, testify to us of the sufficiency of your grace and faithfulness. May we also, O Lord, intentionally run in such a way that we are dealing with the distractions and the hindrances that would pull us away from you, and especially the sin that would trip us up and keep us from finishing the race. Be merciful and gracious to us, we pray. And as we come to the Lord's table, may this time of communion be a time, O Lord, of being strengthened by your grace, that we may live for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.